Hello there, it's Jameela Jamil. Take a deep breath. Let your breath out slowly to the count of six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Do you feel better? Well, on my podcast, I Weigh, this month we'll be exploring ways to tackle mental health and feel better with guests like Simon Sinek from The Optimism Company, therapist Vienna Farren, comedian Neil Brennan, and many more. Listen to I Weigh wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, peeps. Help Me Be Me is underfunded and needs your help. If you enjoy listening to this or it helps you at all, please visit helpmebeme.com and click donate or visit me on Patreon. Thanks. Hi friends, it's Sarah May, and this is an episode I've been wanting to do forever with my bestie, Alicia Martyr.
Hey.
So she's actually the reason I'm married, put it that way. So we're doing an episode about sealing the deal, basically courtship practices. So just a heads up, this is kind of heterocentric, but hopefully you'll get something out of it, even if you're not straight, because it's for people basically to protect themselves, honor themselves, and show that value to others in a way that allows them to fall in love. So Alicia is actually, I would say, the inspiration for me finding a soulmate, and she's very much a love guru. And that's because you're a pragmatist, and I feel like you're really good at just making a plan for going after what you want.
Thank you.
Before we get started, what would you tell someone to look for in a relationship? Because I think a lot of people don't really know what they're looking for and what they should look for.
It's a tough question, but I'll go back to things that I often say. I think I told you to make a list, but that was one thing. I know that
you told me you made a list.
I did make a list
in college, and I was like, I'm going to make that a thing.
I did. That was,
I call it the love list.
And that was sort of more to be conscious of what you are looking for, not to be something like a checklist of if you don't hit this, but to be more aware of what you want. And that was something that I did to sort of remind myself of what I wanted. But one thing that I always tell people in terms of what you're looking for is finding someone that is willing to change. And that sounds like so counterintuitive, but someone that doesn't think they're perfect the way they are. Because the thing is, we're always evolving. We're always changing. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in therapy and
you're here.
Yes. And constantly working on yourself. And I found that women and good friends that have had the most issues with their man is someone that's like, you know what, I'm good. I'm perfect. Like, I don't want to change. And, you know, a marriage, a relationship is constantly evolving. You as a person are constantly evolving. So being with someone that is open to growing and getting better and bettering themselves and trying to be better for you and for themselves, you know, naturally is something that I think has been very helpful. When I used to say that my relationships were like, I was very proud of my relationships because they were each was like an internship. Like, I learned something at each one, and then I would move on to the next boyfriend, and I would take my learnings from the last one and then move on to the next. But you know, that was just sort of something that I learned and that I've just noticed has been super helpful. You know, in my husband now, not like my husband then, but I only have one husband. But I say my husband, you know, is very open. You know, neither of us think that we're perfect. We know we are flawed. And we know that we just want to get better, you know, as people. And we know that we're going to change. So it's just more of like the red flag of someone. If they're like, you know what, I'm perfect or I'm good. I don't need to change, you know. And you know, that to me is a red flag of like, okay, then how are they going to be when you have a problem with them? They're going to tell you, well, you don't love me. You know, I'm happy the way I am.
I also remember you telling me being able to talk about your feelings was like a huge plus.
Yeah.
Someone just being able to have that openness or insight to be able to say, like, I feel blank.
Yes, emotional availability, which I feel like I learned about myself that I didn't date men that were emotionally available back when
so
I was younger.
So many of us don't.
Yes, because I think it was a self it was self-defense. You know, it was like it was protective. I wasn't ready to share my feelings. I wasn't, you know, so I wasn't emotionally available myself or in touch with my feelings. And then as soon as I did get in touch with them, you know, I started to be like, wow, I can't believe I'm dating these guys that literally have trouble saying I love you and have trouble expressing themselves to me, and that I'd be happy if they just, you know, it would, you know, and my husband says this now that like, a really difficult thing is, you know, around Valentine's Day or, you know, or when your guys are buying cards and all these cards are saying like, I know I never express myself, but I love you. And my husband's like, oh, it must be such a bummer for guys that never do that, that this is the one day they have to get a card. And he's like, none of these cards, you know, really spoke to me because I do say I love you. I do express exactly why I love you. And you know, having someone that fully understands you and why they love you and is able to tell you that is like, it's like watering a plant. Like you need to be watered and they need, you know, and that is something about watering you is someone to be able to tell you like how great you are and how fantastic you are.
Well, here's the other thing that I like feel like the light bulb you gave me was because I was at the time dating somebody that was like the card buyer guy that mm-hmm. was like once a year type of thing. And then I remember just like listening to you on the phone with your husband and being like, I want that. And you were like, why don't you have that? And I'm like, I don't think I can. And you're like, you should have that. I didn't ever realize you could look for that, deliberately seek out people that are like that. And I just never put it on my like priorities list because I just didn't think it existed. And I feel like so many people don't believe it exists. And therefore, they don't even look for it. They don't look for a person that's like all the things they want, like, you know, is able to express love to them, that puts them on a pedestal, that like gushes to them, like that. Those could be things you look for in somebody that I personally was just like, huh, I can have those things, but I can't ask those things. And you're like, yeah, you should. You should ask for all of those things. Like, who are you? You should ask for somebody that's just like you. And I was like, oh, really?
I couldn't believe, because I was like, I worship Sarah. I know all of you who are listening do too. So I was like, you deserve the best. I mean, I believe everyone deserves the best. Everyone, we are queens. I mean, and you know, we just, everyone deserves, you should both feel, you and your partner should feel like you guys lucked out, you know? And so each of you should be that way. And, you know, if you're both operating to make the other one happy, you both are going to end up happy. If you
totally.
Both are like, yes, you have to make yourself happy, but if you're trying to look out for the other person and you're thinking in your day, okay, what can I do that would be nice for them? You ultimately will both win out, but if only one of you is doing it, that's when you got some issues.
Yeah, eventually you become resentful.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the dating stage, because mm-hmm. You helped me a lot in this department. So I'm going to set the stage for everyone listening. I did not want to date. I did not want to go on OkCupid. I didn't want to go on, like, you know, dating apps because I was like, that's just not me. And then Alicia would send me basically invitations to weddings she was going to.
Yeah, I was. I was like, they met on Plenty of Fish. Or, like, I was like, these guys met on, like, I kept.
You're like, just saying.
I'm
just,
like, come
just
on.
Saying.
It's this century. This is how you meet people. Like, you
I know.
Don't, you know, I'm like, you're not going to bars. And that would be a great place. But you can't, like, it just, I also believe you got to be open to the universe. Like, the universe is. You tell the universe what you want, and if you are open to saying, I will meet them anywhere, then you will meet them anywhere. But if you tell the universe, I only have three places where I've decided where I'm going to meet my, you know, the guy of my dreams, well, then it'd be like, fine, I'm going to pick another three places. Like, it's going to fight that. If you're open, the universe opens up. If you close, the universe closes up. That's totally just what I believe, and that's Alicia's belief system.
Well, so then I'd work my way up there. I got wasted one night with my friend Nathan, and then he was on OkCupid, and I was like, okay, let's turn it up. And then I got a dick pic, and I was like, and I'm done. But then a week later, I signed up, and I was like, all right. So then the other thing you told me was just treat it like a job. And
you only
I think
need
other
one.
People
you
told me that,
one.
Yeah, just be aggressive, constantly swiping, like,
you
just
go on a
diligently.
Lot of interviews.
Yeah, totally.
You only need one.
And so what would you say to any person that's, let's say, they are in the swiping stage and they're on their a lot of first dates, what would you say are, like, mandatories for a person that you might approve of if you're going to go out on a date with them, like, profile-wise?
I mean, it's tough because I haven't done online dating, but I.
You did read through mine, like helped me read
I
through.
I did,
it.
Okay. And I mean.
You were, I think you told me like he likes his mom and sense of humor. Like there were some very key, like I think authenticity was another one.
Right. I was like self-deprecating, but that's just my natural state. But mm-hmm. Yeah, a sense of humor is always great. I also feel like not to 100% judge a picture. I know that sounds So counterintuitive.
Oh my God, so true.
But
so
it's like,
true.
You know, energy, someone's energy in a room is so different. Like, I mean, I have.
It like fills them up in like the shape
so
of their.
It's so different. Yeah. And it's like, and then also, you know, they put up some photo that might not feel like them, but they think it's a good one. It's like, there's just too much there that if you like what they're writing, I 100% would say go, you know, go on that date and try it. Like, all, the worst that can happen is you go home. I mean, it's like, you know, the benefits outweigh the negatives, I feel like. And mm-hmm. I do have a friend that in treating it like a job, she basically set up an entire week of what you call interviews or dates. And it was like every day she had a date so that you don't make it so precious. It's just like, don't like obsess over one and just and make him everything and build him up. It's like, no, do one in the morning, one at night. Like just do, you know, because it's about getting to know someone. And yes, I know we end up knowing pretty quickly whether someone works or doesn't for mm-hmm. us, you know, and whether we could potentially see a future. So might as well just like get through as many as you can. And so I think you usually have a good idea in your gut, I'd say, to check in with yourself, you know, not necessarily on pictures, but on their write-up. And if they feel like someone you know, they always say, or I've heard this a long time ago, but a marriage is like a 30-year conversation. And it's like, if it's someone that feels like you could have a 30-year conversation with, then, you know, or that you just want to talk to, try not to get obsessed with the photo and try to be like, just try to be open, you know, and say, okay, maybe, you know, because you just... I wouldn't say like, you know, plenty of the guys that I dated, I wouldn't say that they took a great photo, but like they were very attractive to me. And mm-hmm. attractive is different than good looking, you know?
Totally.
Attractive is that energy that pulls you to them. And my husband always makes fun of an ex-boyfriend that I had because he's just like, oh my God, he's so not, he's just not cute. I'm like, he was very attractive. Like I'm like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, and other girls would say he was cute, but my husband just does not think
he's
so.
He's allowed to say that. do you have any rules or do you think there should be any rules for gender specifically on planning it, where it should be, who should pay, any of that stuff?
I mean, I know we're, you know... I guess, like, I feel like a lot of things come back to, like, the sort of primal thing that I do think happens in which, like, the man kind of – I do think this is just in some ways from nature that they want to feel like they are hunting and that they are taken care of, and there is a lot of that. So I don't – but I think that it's whatever someone feels comfortable with, because if you're going to say, like, no, that's not me to my core. I want to split it. I want that – you know, I get that too. So I don't have any, like – hard and fast rules on that. I'd say more the hard and fast rule of the primal thing is more the like, I think the man should chase. Like, mm-hmm. I think the like, because I do think if you chase them, you'll regret it. Because I don't think that's the way things are set up in terms of like, like a tiger needs to hunt for its meat. Like, it's the same way that I think like The Bachelorette and like why The Bachelorette season like always seems, works way much more than The Bachelor season, because that's sort of men are all hunting for that one prize, that one woman, where in The Bachelor season, it's a bunch of women hunting for one guy, and that's just like a hot mess, and the guy's just like, well, I got, look how many women I got. Like, I'm just going to go get more. Like, I'm not going to sit with just one. But the guys feel like they won a prize if it's all the guys fighting for one. Anyway, yeah. I totally got off track. I'm sorry.
No, but I feel like you could translate that to, like, I mean, there's that book, Derrida, or I think his name is Derrida. The Way of the Superior Man, which is like basically about like in all balanced sexual relationships, one person is the one that does all of the action or is the aggressor, and then the other person has to be the recipient and very like passive, and that's what kind of creates attraction. So I feel like that's totally valid, even if it is, you know, if it's like the woman could be the aggressor or, you know, I feel like it could change roles depending on the person. But yeah. I think, yeah, when you chase someone, you have like a perception of value that is way more attractive,
right?
When someone's giving you everything.
And I'd say it's like it's a temporary time. I know there are a lot of people that'll come out and be like, you know, like I just want to be me, and I just want to like, I don't want them to chase me. Like I'm gonna.
Or I don't want to play games.
I don't play games. I don't want to play games. And I'm like, it's not a game. It's sort of it's something that's instilled in us that like we're.
It's like a dance.
Yeah, a dance, a nice fun dance, but it doesn't last forever. It's not. But you are setting up parameters of how you want to be treated. And I think it just gets confused with games, and it's more just how you're teaching them your worth, you're teaching them your value, and it may not feel like that, but that is what you're teaching them. You're teaching them that you have a wonderful, awesome life. When you don't call them back immediately, it's because you're so fucking fantastic that you are busy and you got stuff to do, and you're teaching them. Like, and this will be instilled in them for life, that like they need to respect your time and that your time is precious and that you have plenty to do without them. But and that is something that they will learn and keep with them. But if you show them right off the bat that like you're willing to just drop everything for them immediately, you're telling them that you have lower value and you don't value yourself as much because
yeah.
You just want them.
And you can do – and they can do whatever they want.
Right.
And it's and like – you'll accept it.
So it's like – it seems, yeah, counterintuitive. You're like, no, I just want to be honest and I just want to talk to them, so I'm going to call them right back. But, you know, I do think patience and knowing that it's just a – it's a temporary time where you're getting to know each other and setting up parameters for, like, how you want to be treated. And it's like an education. It's like training a puppy.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And once you train that puppy, the puppy's trained, and then it's fine. And then you can call them all you want. Once you guys have established that you are in a monogamous relationship, you can go crazy, and you know what I mean. Then it's fine. But before you've established that, and they're just trying to evaluate whether you're right for them, you do have to kind of be, you know, dangling the meat. You can't just throw the meat into the cage. You know, you got to make them want it.
Got
to
dangle that meat.
I like a lot of metaphors.
I like the dangling meat. So what if a person? What if you're dating somebody? You're doing that, like, I've got stuff to do, and I'm amazing, and then. And things are great, but then you get the, I don't know if I want a commitment. I just don't. I feel like the person basically doesn't want to be monogamous.
I'm trying to think the advice that I would probably give. I guess it depends on if they're like cutting it off, or they're just saying, I want to see other people.
Like, yeah. They're like, well, but wait, let's just, you know, keep our, this is good. This is what we've got is good.
Well, if you want to be in a monogamous relationship, then, I mean, that is essentially where it ends. Now, it doesn't mean that it will end, because I do think if you can stand your ground a lot of times and say, look, like, I want to be with you and only you, but like, I'm not about being in an open relationship. So you have to, like, you know, grab your balls and just say, look, I'm this is not for me, like, and let them go. And a lot of times, if you can show that strength and show that, like, you know, instead of being like, I mean, maybe, and we'll just be like cool friends, and then hoping that, like, they won't sleep with someone else, but then they do sometimes, and then, like.
Or you just don't know because it's never brought up.
No, it's like
don't ask me about my business.
Right. It's like, that is like the most toxic relationship to be in, and it's so toxic for you. It's awful. I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. So, and that's sort of part of the thing is standing up for yourself and saying, you know what, no, that doesn't work for me, you know, and if you want to be monogamous, like, I'm here, but, like, if you don't, I'm definitely not here. And that's, like, you know, it's a shitty position to be in, and all of us have been in it, and, you know, it's just not something that you should stand for, because it's just a slippery, terrible road down that one, you know, of a guy just never really committing.
And if somebody has a track record, listen to it. Don't believe that it's going to change just because you want it to.
And just because they say they're going to change.
Yeah. Okay, let's say we found a good person, a person we like. We had a great first date, and we just got the first text.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you wait?
So we went on the first date, and then the text came.
It came the next day.
Next day. I always say, and I told Sarah this too, that you never respond right away. Like, never. And she would,
I think you gave me a 12-hour.
Yeah. Well, was it 12 hour for the first? Was it the first one was 12? I feel like I gave you a little more than that, didn't I? Less than that. End of day or something. Like,
yeah.
I said a couple, wait as long as you can. This sounds terrible and it sounds really painful because you're like so excited. Like, oh my God, are they going to think I don't like them? And like, it's fine if they think you don't like them. That is actually like, that's salt on the steak. That's like, that's marinating the steak in like some nice juices. Like, they
are. Tenderize that
it's
meat.
It's tenderizing the meat. It's like you are just making you so much more of a prize to be won. But, you know, and it's just I kept telling Sarah, like, you are so busy. You have such an awesome life, and maybe he can fit into it. Just maybe. But you are awesome. And, like, and so it just makes them more appreciative of your time and when they get you. So when you do write back, you also, I always have to tell her, like, she would want to write these, like, long paragraphs. I'm like, no, uh-uh. You gotta write, like, way less. Because it's about, once again, you're busy, you're awesome, and keep them wanting more, you know?
Mm-hmm. So true. And then I also think you told me, because I was like, how come he doesn't just call? And you're like, because you're texting back.
Right.
Like, you have to cut that off if you want to talk on the phone.
Right. That's why I was like,
if
you—
controlling the— yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember that. It was like, the longer text you write, then the more you're just going to keep writing texts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can be vague, too, like in the text of like, not sure. Or like, you know, not writing really long text back. Be like, I don't know. Give me a call. Or I don't know. Like,
right.
Call me. I'll be around it. You can give me a call then. Like, you know, just trying to get the conversation, you know, to the phone. Because honestly, I know we're in text age and this is like, but it just doesn't become as, you know, you want to get to know someone more, and talking to them on the phone really does help you like understand them better. They emote better. You can like understand context. Cause like, I mean, you end up we try to take apart a text, like, well, what does this word mean? And what is, and you're
I know.
Like,
what does this emoji mean?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's that's also a slippery slope, that if you can try to get them onto the phone and just sort of like, I forget, I think I told you to just be really vague when he would text you. And if he was just like, you know, what's going on? It's like, oh, just give me a call. I can't text. Like, I can, you know, and just sort of let him know that, like, you're available by phone. But, you know, because I feel like texting has helped us in some ways and hurt us in others in terms
of
relationships.
I think it's, like, made people who are already kind of afraid of intimacy, like, more comfortable
exactly.
in that. So they stay more distant.
Yep.
Okay, how to put a ring on it. So this is generalizing because it's targeted at those who actually want to get married. But let's say you've been dating for a year, maybe a year and a half, and you want to get married. What do you do?
This is a tried and true. There's a couple things that I didn't even realize I gave this advice, but to two friends, that one that just got married and one that is engaged, getting married in October. But both
track
of the,
record, see that?
Yeah,
successful
yeah.
Track record.
But I don't even know that I did this. But they were like, Alicia, don't you remember you sat me down and told me to give, you know, my fiance a date? Like, so this is something that I've said, I guess, numerous times. But and I think I'm just passionate about these things, so that's why I do it. But because I just believe so strongly in my own weird beliefs. But you know, I think it's really important to be on the same page with your significant other and communicate. So if you want to get married, and also give them a timeline. So you sit them down, you know, say Bob, your boyfriend, and say, Bob, you know what? I really want to be married. Do you want to be married? And, you know, you're probably on the same page. So Bob's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I love you. Yeah, okay.
One day, yeah.
One day, yeah, someday. Like, okay. So Bob, I want to be married within the next 6 months, or I want to be married in the next year. So, hey, it's, in March. Okay, so by, you know, March of next year, I would like to be engaged. Now, I don't, you know, does that sound good to you, Bob? And if Bob says yes, you know, then you're on the same page. Bob's like, I don't know, that seems soon. I'd be like, okay, then Bob, when do you see us being, because, you know, when do you see us being engaged? But if Bob does say yes, then you can be quiet about the ring. It's like, you can send him, be like, okay, Bob, I'm going to send you some images of rings, or I'd like to go looking for a ring, and then I will stop talking about it. And then you have a year, you know? But it's getting on that same page, that it's having that conversation and having them be aware that there's a timeline, and that you're aware that you guys are in this together, and that there is a path and there is a plan. And both my friends, yes, and trust me, the guys will take until that last minute. So, like, if you really have to be ready to wait until March, because if you are not, they will probably go till— like, I mean, literally, sometimes they may take a month after, but, like, they will go up until the very last minute. So you need to really be okay with waiting until then. But they may be just happy because I know a lot of men will complain that women just won't shut up about trying to get married. And then you're all resentful, and that sucks. That's a terrible position of being like, when are you going to put a ring on it? Like, no girl wants to be doing that, but we all did it. So it's that, I think, is, like, a good way to just all both be on the same page. And make sure that, you know, it's the conversation, and because you'll just be guessing and hoping, and you're never on the same page if you don't talk about it.
So this is another scenario I know you feel passionately about, but let's say the guy's like, well, let's just, you know, move in together and then we'll figure, you
Let
know,
me just get my soapbox. Hold
figure
on.
It out. How do you feel about the moving in together part?
Hey, so I tell every person, every girl that's like, oh, we're just going to move in and see how it goes. I'm like, do not move in. If you want to get engaged, do not move in. I repeat, do not move in with your boyfriend. This does not mean you will not eventually get engaged. I just mean that if you want it to happen as fast as possible, I do not believe moving in with someone is going to make that path be the fastest possible. And I know that from numerous people that it has happened to. And yes, some of them ultimately got engaged, but it took way longer than, you know, for me, because look, if guys don't want to change anything if it's working already. So if you move in with them and they're like, look, everything's great, we're living together, it's awesome, they don't want to change anything. So bringing in a ring into that conversation and money for a wedding, they're like, no, like I already have everything I need, but you don't have everything you need. So if you hold something off, like moving in, like they see moving in as, oh, I would like her to live here and I would like to save money with us living together. And you're like, well, I will do that when we are engaged. And it is something for you to hold on to that, you know, that they can't have until they do. And it worked for me. And that people will also say, like, look, you know, well, I want to get to know him. You know, I want to live with him and know we can live together. Well, you have a pretty good idea that you can live together. If you've been sleeping over there and they've been sleeping over at your place, like, you have a good idea. Plus, have a long engagement then. Like, be engaged for a long time. Move in when you're engaged. And then, you know, you can see it's fine. Trust me, it'll be fine. But I think that's just excuses people bring up to be like, well, I don't – how will we know? Like, you know. You sleep in their bed all the time. You're always there. You know.
And how would you say that somebody – well, how would someone know? Let's say this person doesn't want to commit or you don't want the same things. One person doesn't believe in marriage. What do you think would be reason to break up?
If they don't believe in – well, you're saying you're like, not trying to get married.
Well, let's say you want to get married or you want certain things and they don't. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're like stuck in a relationship where you're not getting what you want. How do you know if you should let go of a relationship? Because I know a lot of people that kind of stick around like hoping or, you know, maybe they'll change. Or it's not bad enough for them to actually walk away. And it's kind of like you get stuck in a holding pattern.
I think that it's hard for people to see how bad it is. People never think it's bad, but it's always way worse.
Because it's like you get so used to it and it's so much easier to stay like safe in something you know.
Right. And I think people, they underestimate their happiness, like, or overestimate their happiness. I think they know they're not happy, but they like sort of underestimate their pain. They're like, oh, you know, I'm fine. And like, they're like, it's miserable, you know, and you deserve to be happy. You deserve, you know, to have the best life and everything that you want in a relationship. And if getting married is something you want and your significant other doesn't want it, you know, that's something that like I think only you can really know, but I would probably say it's something that you'd have to walk away from if that's, you know, we all have kind of some deal breakers and they're called deal breakers for a reason. You got to break the deal. Like if it's a deal breaker, then it means you end the relationship. And yes, it's painful and hard, but you know, some of the best things come out of the most pain. You know, if you can get past that pain, you can find something so much better on the other side.
Totally. Like the best internship ever.
Yes, the best internship. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other question I had was, so how would you say, what should a relationship bring out in you, like a good relationship? How should it make you feel?
The best relationship makes you the best version of yourself that you possibly can. I've had boyfriends before that made me feel like a terrible person, that I was like, I feel like I'm always a bitch around them. I feel like they were constantly poking. I had like the poker boyfriend that would just like poke the bear, just constantly just coming at me with stuff, like just like would always make me kind of ornery and angry and just, and you know, I believe that the best people make you the best version. Like they make you kinder and happier and want to be better.
And see your good qualities.
Yes.
Like bring them out.
And bring them out more so that you want to be more of that, you know. So if you don't like yourself around the person you're with, that to me is a red flag. It's like you need to take a step back and evaluate why, you know, what are they doing or what are you doing around them? What's going on with that communication that they're making you feel that way or that you're constantly, you know, and that those become toxic relationships. I mean, they're, you know, it's there are family members that can be like that too, you know. It's a similar kind of thing. You have to kind of take a step back and evaluate it.
And choose people based on your greatest strengths. Like not the people that have your same baggage, like the people that have all the things you want more of in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's how you grow into more of your best self.
Yes.
And I will say the reason I chose the soulmate path is because I got to watch Alicia and her husband on the phone and I saw what I wanted, which was like best friends that are respectful and very enthusiastic to talk to each other. So I would say a great tool is to find a benchmark relationship, like somebody that you could just witness and really get to witness for the first time what a good relationship is. For a lot of people, you don't see that. You know, you're used to seeing what your parents are like or whatever. But when you can actually see a really healthy, positive relationship, it's like,
so nice.
It makes you really, you know, say like, hey, I want that. I can have that for myself too. Any other words of guidance for people out there who are maybe in the dating pool feeling shitty about it because it sucks to date, let's be honest,
yeah.
and they're just looking for the love of their life and they don't believe they can find it?
That's a tall order, huh? I think because I said it before, but being open to like where and when and how and why. And even with my husband, I had to be open to him. Like, I wasn't sure about him. And that sounds crazy now, but I was like, he was just all about me. And I was like, okay, you're going a little too fast, a little too hot, too heavy, like just simmer down, you know? And I think I was also just, you know, emotionally like not ready. And so it took some time. So I think that like being open to wherever you may meet them and honestly, like as a mantra, just saying, I am open, I'm ready. I'm like, and you know, and believing, you know, it's operating at that frequency of happiness. You know, like they say everyone
totally.
Operates at different frequencies. And, you know, when you're just like believing it will happen and it's going to be okay. And, but you're still fantastic without it, you know, it's sort of like, try to water your own can. Water your own flower. How does that work?
Yeah.
Another metaphor I'm totally screwing up. But like, you know, you're a plant and water yourself. Do great things for yourself. You know, go,
totally.
You know, and because that, I think that like ultimately the happier you are, the happier the frequency you're operating at. And then good things do come into your life. Good people, good situations, good, you know. But it's a tough world out there.
Well, and so when you were like emotionally not ready, what did you do with that? Like when you were like, and I feel uncomfortable, I know this person's like really into me, but I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
I went to therapy. I actually was like, I think it brought up a lot of like just stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that I hadn't dealt with. And I think that was part of the time when I realized that I had a lot of relationships that were, you know, very closed off, the guys were very emotionally unavailable, and that's sort of who I had chosen to date because I had more control in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of learned a lot about that. I went right to therapy. I like read books. I was like, but my husband now he saw me trying, like he saw me trying to do it. And then I was like, look, I would tell him, I'm like, I you know, because he would say, I was so crazy. I would tell, one minute I'd tell him he's my best friend. The next I'd be like, we can't see each other this week. It's too much. Because it was just, I think he was so emotionally available and so knew he wanted to be with me. And that was a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be like.
Oh, for real. It's like, oh, wow, this is happening. It's all in my front of my doorstep right now.
Yeah,
like,
it's too much.
What do I do with this?
Yeah. It just, and so therapy was a huge part of being able to like figure out, why am I so overwhelmed by this? Why am I, because I do like this guy, but why is him coming on strong scaring me and you know, and not putting it all on him, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I was like, what, this is bringing up so much in me. So I evaluated a lot of that. I cried, I did that, you know, I worked through it, you know, and I think I allowed myself to be loved the way that he loves me, you know,
right.
and I don't think I was initially ready
That's
for it
yet. That's such a good part of it. I forgot about that part of it. Yeah, not being able to tolerate, like, someone showing you lots of love. It feels very uncomfortable.
It was very uncomfortable
for me. If you're not
used to
it, yeah, not used to receiving it. I feel like, yeah, that's so many people's experience is doing those types of things and then being like, why am I a dick? Like, just being, like, really, like, you know, opposites all of a sudden, like, get the fuck away or you're an asshole, like, for no reason. And then
right.
being like, why am I doing this? And I feel like, yeah, the next step of going to therapy, it's like, of course there's a, you know, something you got to work through. It doesn't end there. Just give yourself the opportunity to figure it out so that you're not, like, cutting off all of your positive relationships at that mm-hmm. feeling.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to define who you are. So, in closing, if you're looking for love, get specific. Get confident, even fake confident, and get honest, and give people the room to show up for you, because you're awesome.
You are awesome.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you. This was fun. I could talk all day.
I know, right? And don't forget to smile.